All right. Well, good morning and welcome to LifePoint. We're coming towards the end of our summer teaching series. We've got a couple more weeks, but all summer we've been looking at different spiritual practices that help us as we seek to follow Jesus and become more like Jesus. And so far in our series, we've talked about things like scripture meditation and prayer and fasting and community. But today's practice is the practice of serving. So if you have your Bible with you, you can go ahead and find your way to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. You know, if we're being honest, serving is one of those things that we don't always want to do, but we sort of feel like we have to do. Like we do it because it's the right thing, or because we think God wants us to, or because the church needs us to, and we often feel guilted into serving. But here's what we need to understand today. We don't serve because we have to, and we don't serve because God needs us to. The reason we serve is because it is part of the formative process of you and I becoming more and more like Jesus. In fact, I would argue we're never more like Jesus than when we are serving. And today, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture where Jesus has this conversation with his disciples about what it looks like, what it means to live a life of service to others. So in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 35, it says this, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And so James and John, they come to Jesus with this pretty bold request, this pretty bold demand, do for us whatever we ask. Now, I want you to imagine your kids coming to you with that kind of demand. It would probably be the last request they ever made to you. But Mark, he's actually pretty gracious to James and John here because he excludes probably the most embarrassing detail from their request. But Matthew had no problem throwing them under the bus in his account. And listen to what he writes in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him." These dudes brought their mom with him to make a request to Jesus. These were the original millennials bringing their parents to their first job interview. Like, "Mom, Dad, I need your help. I don't know what to do." So they bring their mom with them to make a request. And Jesus, he gladly plays along for a minute. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." You see, all the disciples assumed that it was only a matter of time before Jesus would overthrow the Roman Empire, that he would set up his earthly kingdom, and that he would become the king. And they all wanted to be right by his side when this finally went down. And James and John were vying for the spot of vice president. They wanted to be the number two, the number three guy when Jesus finally took over, because for them, Jesus was a one-way ticket to the top. He was the path to wealth and to success and to fame and to status. And so Jesus hears this request, this demand from them, and listen to how he responds. He says, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And without even knowing what that means, they say, "We can." And Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." Jesus says, you guys don't know what you're talking about. And you don't realize why I'm here. You have no idea what you're actually asking for. But he says, "But you will drink the cup that I drink, and you will be baptized with the same baptism." And what is Jesus talking about here? What is this cup and this baptism? He's talking about the cup and baptism of suffering. Following Jesus was not going to get them the position of power and prestige that they thought it would. Following Jesus was going to cost them everything. They were going to have to take up their cross to follow him. But watch what happens next in verse 41. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. So the other guys catch word of what has just happened, and they are ticked. They are not happy. But it's not because they thought it was a rude request. They're mad because James and John had beat them to it. You see, they were all following Jesus with mixed motives. For them, Jesus was just a means to an end. They were using him. They thought that he would lead them to power and to greatness. And so Jesus, knowing what's in their heart, knowing the conversations that are happening, he calls them together for a little powwow, for a little team meeting. And he says this. He says, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." He says, "Come on, guys, you know how people are. You know how the Romans operate. You know how they treat the people that they rule over. They use their position of power to benefit themselves. They use their authority to serve themselves. They use it for their own advantage." But then Jesus says this, "Not so with you. Not so with you. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." He says, "Guys, look, it's going to be different for you. Because I have a different set of expectations for those who want to follow me. Those who want to be great must first become a servant. And if you want to be first, you must become a slave to all." And you see, this is the upside down nature of the kingdom of God, where the path to greatness comes through serving. Those who want to be first will be last. And then Jesus finishes by saying this in verse 45. "For even the Son of Man," referring to himself, "even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus says, I didn't come here to take over anything. I didn't come here to exalt myself and make myself king of an earthly kingdom and an earthly empire. He says, no, I came to lay down my life as a ransom for many. I'm on a mission not to be served by others, but to serve. And the Apostle Paul, he writes about this very idea in Philippians chapter 2. He says this, he says, "In your relationships with one another, in the way that you deal with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Paul says that Jesus, who was God in flesh, fully God and fully man, who was deserving and worthy of all honor, glory, and praise, did not use his position or his status to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He laid down the position of honor that he deserved, and instead he took on the form of a servant. And it says that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death on a cross. While we were still sinners, while we were still undeserving, Christ died for us. And Paul says that now, as followers of Jesus, you and I are to adopt this same mindset in the way that we treat one another and this same mindset in our relationships. Back in verse 3 and 4, he says this. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value other people above yourselves, not looking to your own interests and your own needs, but each of you to the interests of others." And what Paul is saying here is that Jesus and the life that he lived is both the motivation and the example for you and I to live a life of service. He's the motivation inspiring us to do this, and he set the example for us. He modeled for us what this looks like. And so if you're taking notes this morning, here's the big idea for today. To follow Jesus is to follow him in a lifestyle of serving others. It's to follow him in a life of serving others where we're constantly looking for ways to put the needs, the interests of other people ahead of ourselves. You see, following Jesus is not about making ourselves great. Following Jesus is not about putting ourselves first. This is what the disciples thought. No, following Jesus is a race to the back of the line. It's about consistently looking for ways to put others and their needs and their interests ahead of our own. And so here's the question for us today. How does this lifestyle of serving, this life of serving others, play out in the context of a local church community? What does it look like? What does it mean for us to live a life of service within a local church? You see, there are two kinds of people that exist in the church. There are consumers and there are contributors. And the question a consumer kind of thinks with and is kind of their grid for church is, okay, what can the church do for me? What programs do they offer for my kids? Is there a group that meets my schedule and my needs? Do I get something out of the message? Do I get something out of the music? It's a very me-centered approach. It's about the church meeting my needs, meeting the needs of my family. But a contributor, they start with, what can I do for the church? How can I use the gifts, the talents, the time that God has given me to make a difference? Is there a ministry that has a need? Is there a way that I can be a blessing to other people? It's a you-centered approach. It's about how can my family, how can myself as an individual go about meeting the needs of the church? And when a contributor sees a need in the church, a need in the body, they don't sit back and just wait for somebody else to take care of it. They don't operate with this mindset of, oh, that's somebody else's problem. That's somebody else's responsibility. Somebody else can handle it. No, they step up and they take ownership. They say, I got it. I'll do it. I'll take care of it. When they see a need, they own it. Now, there are certainly times where it is okay to be a consumer. If you're new to a church and you're checking out churches and you're trying to get settled in, there may be a season where you just attend and you worship and you receive and you don't step into serving yet. There may be seasons in life because of family reasons or personal reasons or health reasons where you may need to take a step back from serving. But you see, we don't want to stay a consumer forever. At some point in time, we want to make the switch and we want to become a contributor in our local church. You know, there's this common idea, especially in Western Christianity, that the pastors and the church staff, the people who are the paid professionals, are the ones who are responsible for doing all of the ministry. That's their full-time job. They're the ones who do the ministry, and church is this event that they put on every week for us. It's this event where you show up, and you get free childcare for an hour, and you sing a few songs, and you may hear an encouraging message, and then you just go on throughout your week. But listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Here's why he gave them. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Listen, as a church staff, we are not in the event planning business, where we just put on an event or a program for people each and every week. Paul says that we are in the equipping business. We are equipping the body of Christ for works of service. Other translations say for works of the ministry. And the reason we're doing that is so that the body of Christ may be built up in both unity and maturity. And your role as a member of the body of Christ, as a member of the local church, is not to just sit back and consume, is not to just sit on the sideline and watch all the ministry happen or be done for you. You've been called to be a contributor, to get in the game, to jump in and be a part of the ministry that's actually happening in the church. And together, all of us, as the body of Christ, as the church, we live out this mission that God has given us as a church to go and make disciples. It's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the people who work at the church. It is all of us together as the body of Christ living out this mission. You know, you may not feel it as much during the middle of summer right now, but during the school year, we have completely maxed out our space here in the auditorium and in the parking lot. In church world, kind of the rule of thumb is that once you are at 80% capacity in your auditorium, then you have really no more space. You've outgrown your space. And most weeks during the school year, we're running well over 500 people and are at 90% capacity in both of our services on Sunday morning. Last week during 9:30, we had overflow seating in our conference room because we were so full. Now, most of you know, if you've been a part of LifePoint for a while, that we have been actively looking for a new building, a new space for more than 2 years now. We've met with the city of Westerville, the city council, multiple times. We've put in offers on several different buildings. We've talked to other churches about swapping buildings or selling ours to them and buying theirs. We've done just about everything that we can, and for whatever reason, God has not opened that door for us yet. And so we have a couple of options while we wait for God to eventually open this door for a new building. We can either maintain what we're doing until God opens that door, or we can add another service. Those are kind of the two options that we have right now. And I believe, as your pastor, that the mission that God has given us of making disciples, reaching people for Jesus, is too important and too urgent for us to just sit on our hands and wait for God to open this door for us. And so on August 17th, 3 weeks from today, we are adding a third service on Sunday mornings. Yes, something to celebrate. Hey, you've been the only one to clap. I was hoping for some claps. Now, if you've been a part of Westerville for a little while, you know that we tried three services a while ago. We ran a three-service schedule for about a year and a half, and that third service, it just never took off the way that we hoped it would. By the time I started here, the 12 o'clock service, it was on life support. It was rough to preach. It was rough for the team leading worship. It was just a difficult service. And so last July, about exactly a year ago, we made the move back to two services. And it was definitely the right move at the time. It has created a lot of momentum for us, having everybody in just two services. It gave our volunteer teams a bit of a break, and we've actually been able to grow pretty significantly by just having those two services. But now we are completely out of space. Like, if you look around right now, we've got a few seats empty, and 2 or 3 weeks when the school year starts back up, there are going to be absolutely no seats between our two services. And so we believe it's time to try three services again, but with a slightly different strategy. Typically, any service time that starts with an 8 or starts with a 12 just really struggles to ever get any traction. And so our three services on Sunday morning are going to be at 9, 10:15, and 11:30. 9, 10, 15, and 11:30. And if you're doing the math in your head, you know that this is a really tight turnaround between our services. We're going to have about 20 minutes to turn the room, to turn the parking lot, which means that I will not be able to preach for more than 30 minutes, which is good news for you all. Nobody likes long sermons. But by doing this schedule, even though it's got this really tight turnaround, we believe it allows us to offer three very attractive service times on a Sunday morning, which will allow us to reach more people. But listen, in order for this to work, we need everyone's help. This is going to take all of us collectively working together in order to pull it off. And so here is this week's challenge. If you've been a part of our series, you know every practice has come with a challenge. If you consider LifePoint Westerville your home church, you're a member here, you're a regular attender here, you would say, hey, this is my home church. There are three things that I'm asking from you as a way to serve your church and to be a contributor as we make this move to three services. So the first one is this, is to invite someone with you. Invite someone with you. Listen, the goal of adding a third service is not to make for a more comfortable experience for the people who are already attending, where it's easier to find a seat, easier to find a parking spot. We don't want to just take our current attendance and divide it over three services rather than two. The goal of adding a service is to grow and to reach more people for Jesus. And we need your help with that. You know, early on in the life of our campus had a strong culture of inviting other people. And our campus grew really fast in the first couple of years after it launched. And you may not realize this, but a church plant, a campus plant growing this quickly is pretty rare. Like, this doesn't happen everywhere, especially when 2 years into your launch, you have a global pandemic. And the reason we've experienced so much growth, obviously the hand of God's blessing and the hand of God's favor, but it's because so many of you were inviting friends and neighbors and coworkers to come with you. Inviting was a regular part of the culture here at Westerville. But you see, as we've outgrown our space here in this building, we've naturally stopped inviting as much. And it's not because we don't care about reaching people. We just don't have any space if we want to actually bring people. But by adding a third service, it opens up space and creates an opportunity for us to invite again. And so we need everyone to invite and bring people with them in the coming weeks. Friends, neighbors, coworkers, family, anybody, invite and bring people who don't have a home church, who don't know the Lord, invite and bring them with you. And we're going to give you just some kind of natural invite opportunities in the coming weeks. So on August 17th, the day we move to three services, that's what we call Move Up Sunday, where we celebrate the start of a new school year. We're going to have some extra fun activities for our kids that day. We're going to have some bounce houses. We're going to have a dunk tank, which Miss Lauren has already promised and volunteered to be in. We're going to have cotton candy for the kids. It's just going to be a really fun day for our kids' ministry. So if you have friends, neighbors who have young kids, great day to invite them. In September, we have Life Change Sunday. This is probably the most evangelistic Sunday that we have throughout the year. We do an incredibly clear gospel presentation. We have people baptized at all three services. We do open spontaneous baptisms that day, so people want to get baptized. So if you have people in your life who don't know the Lord, that's a perfect day to bring them. In October, we're planning something fun around Halloween time that will be another opportunity to invite. But we want to create these natural rhythms and opportunities for you to invite and bring people with you in the coming weeks. We're adding a service to make more room for new people. So invite someone with you. Secondly, serve one and attend one. More services means more opportunities to serve. And with a third service, we're going to have needs in our kids ministry, our connections team, our parking team, our worship and production team. And we would love for everyone who considers LifePoint Westerville their home church to serve at one service and to attend another service. You know, one of the things that I really appreciate about LifePoint is that we try our best to not burn out our volunteers by asking them to serve every single Sunday morning and then Wednesday night and then out of a bunch of events throughout the year. We have a very simple church model. We do Sunday morning and we have life groups during the week. And just about every single one of our serving opportunities is on a every other week basis. And so maybe you've never served here at LifePoint in any capacity. Maybe it's been a while since you served. Following service today, our staff is going to be at a table that we have set up in the lobby. It's hard to miss it. Balloons, banners out there. We would love for you to stop by and help get you connected with one of our ministry areas so you can begin to serve in some kind of capacity, especially as we get closer to three services. So we want to invite somebody with us. We want to serve at one service and attend one. And then number three, this is the easiest one, let us know when you're coming. Do you remember Easter this past year when everyone showed up at 8 a.m.? We're trying to avoid that this time around. We want to have three balanced services where it is a good experience for everybody who attends. We don't want one service completely packed where there's no room. We also don't want someone to show up and it be like a life group where there's 12 of us sitting in here. We want to balance these out as much as possible. I have an idea in my mind of which ones are going to be the biggest and which ones are going to struggle. I'm not going to tell you because then you're going to do the opposite and we're going to have the Easter problem all over again. But here's one thing you can do for us. We're going to have a QR code on the screen. You can go ahead, pull out your smartphone right now, scan that QR code. Going to take you to an online form, and it's going to ask you for your name, family size, and what service you plan on attending. We only need one form per family. If you're not ready to make that decision yet, no worries. You got some time. We'll have the QR code next Sunday. I'm sending out an email tomorrow with the link, but do us a favor. Let us know when you plan on coming, and we would appreciate your flexibility in the next few weeks as we do our best to try to balance out these services and create a positive environment at all 3 hours here in the room, the parking lot, and in kids ministry as well. So invite someone with you, serve one, attend one, and then let us know what service you plan on coming to. As much as I would love a new building, and I really would, I'm done using our lack of space as an excuse. I'm done using that as an excuse. And I really believe that we have an opportunity to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. And by adding this third service, we can increase our seating capacity on a Sunday morning by 50% without spending a dollar, without spending any money. And so to me, it's a no-brainer. We've got to try it. I want to squeeze every drop out of this building that we possibly can. And look, if we try the three services and it's a flop, we'll go back to two services. I don't want to force something that God's not in, but I really believe that by taking this step of faith, by being a good steward of what God has entrusted us to manage, that God is going to honor this, that God is going to bless this, and that God is going to do something special. You know, since being here, I have been so impressed by the way that our church body serves. So many of you use your gifts, your talents, your time, your resource to make a difference. But as churches get bigger, as churches grow, as churches reach more people, there's a tendency for the people in the church to become more consumeristic. Because it's easier to show up on a Sunday morning and just blend in, to just be a face in the crowd, to assume, hey, there's more people, so somebody else will take care of that. And so we have to actively fight against this mindset as a church. We have to continue to make the decision that we are going to be contributors, that we are going to live a life of service within our local church. And so maybe you've been attending for a while now. You've been here a couple of months. You've been here close to a year. And you would say, I go to Life Point. That's my church. But you've never taken that next step. You've never really gotten involved. Or maybe you've been here for years. You've been here since the start. And you're not engaged the way you once were. Life has kind of interrupted that. You've kind of pulled back, and you're just not engaged the same way that you used to be. Now, I'm asking for all of us to go all in right now, to truly be a part of the work that God is doing here at Life Point, because we need you. We need your talent. We need your gifting. We need your help to fulfill the mission that God has given us as a church to go and make disciples, to see people come to know Jesus. And I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the coming weeks, the coming months, as we take this step of faith, this step of obedience, and we see the work that God begins to do in the life of our church. And so I'm going to take a minute, and I'm going to pray for us to use this just as a time to surrender this new season to the Lord. And then our worship team is going to come up here and lead us in a song. And so, Lord, God, we look back, and we just thank you for the work that you've done in the life of our church. For the people who have come to know Jesus, the people who have followed you in baptism, the people who have stepped into full-time ministry, the people who have gone on mission trips, the people who have experienced community here. And Lord, we thank you for the promise that you are faithful to continue the work that you've started, that you bring it to completion. And so, Lord, as we take this step of faith and obedience to add a service, which means more volunteers and more complicated schedule on Sunday mornings, God, we're just asking that that you would honor it, that you would bless it. God, our motives, our desire is not just to grow our church numerically, to just have more people showing up on a Sunday morning. God, we want to see your kingdom advance here in Westerville. And, Lord, we're asking that you would use us, that you would bring more people, more families here, that we would see more salvations, more baptisms, more people experiencing just true biblical community. And so, Lord, over the next few weeks as we prepare, Lord, we just ask that you would bless our efforts. And God, we're praying just with expectation that you're going to do a great work, that we're going to see a great harvest. And Lord, we're just grateful that you choose to use us, that you allow us to be a part of your kingdom and your mission of bringing heaven to earth. So Lord, we give you this next season of ministry. We surrender it to you. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless it. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, that we pray.